The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30.
Been hearing a lot in recent weeks, particularly now some Fine Gael TDs as well, that maybe the government has done too much in relation to imposing additional costs on businesses, which is causing some of those businesses to struggle and indeed at times close, which also then in fact would impact on jobs. So joining us in studio, we've Danny McCoy, the Chief Executive of IBEC, who has highlighted this issue previously, including on this programme, but also Owen Reedy, the General Secretary of the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, because Owen, you issued a statement in relation to this today and a big report. What do you think of this suggestion that maybe too much has been done too soon?
I would completely refute it, Matt, and I think the facts stand up to our analysis. I mean, essentially what the government has done has introduced some modest but necessary labour market reforms to bring us into line with Europe. And they've signposted this. I mean, the pension enrolment piece, 25 of the 27 member states have it. It's going to happen over a decade. Things like sick leave over 3 years. Again, 25 of the 27 member states have it. So, you know, I would say, why should workers in Ireland who maybe don't have collective bargaining rights, why should they not have these basic rights that their peers in Europe have? They're necessary, but they're modest. And I think the rhetoric we're hearing from the employers, it's a lot of stuff of, you know, there's a cafe down the road or a restaurant down the road that's closed. But when you look at those sectors, the job numbers are increasing. The job numbers grew in the economy last year by 3.5%. In hospitality, 7%. In retail, 6%. Nearly double. So whilst there's churn and whilst some businesses in hospitality and retail are closing, it seems the facts say that others are opening up nearly twice as fast. So I think for some in business, not necessarily Danny, but some of his peers and some of his colleagues have really over-exaggerated this. And, you know,
and the politicians in Fine Gael?
Well, it seems some of the politicians in government are being spooked by this. Now, I hear government ministers saying we're going to stick to the programme for government, and I hope they do, because it's important that they do. Because, you know, work needs to pay for workers. There's two sides of the labour market. It can't just be for business. It has to pay for workers too.
Danny McCoy, what's your response to that?
Look, just being reasonable about this is that we in January asked the government to just reflect on the plethora of costs that are coming forward. And none of them individually are not without merit. In fact, we in IBEC have been part of that push for better conditions to reflect the modern sophisticated economy that we have. Our point was the cumulative effect at one time was significant. And we asked the government to look at the impact and to assess it and come out with an impact statement. And they've done that. And for some businesses, the costs have increased by mid-teens in 1 year, but cumulatively with the commitments will be for some up to 35%. And even taking account of wage developments over the next 3 years predicted, you're still looking at a 20% rise in the cost base for the most exposed industries, particularly in the experienced economy. So this is not anecdote. This is by the government's own numbers. And all we've been asking for is that going forward, not to reverse anything, but going forward to commit to a charter that doesn't put more than single-digit costs on those businesses over a longer time frame to ensure that the jobs are sustained.
Owen, is that fair enough? Because Danny did say here in the studio previously, and he's just reiterated, that he's not looking for a reversal of anything that's been done. He's just looking perhaps for it to slow the gallop in relation to future things.
To be fair, IBEC have a more, I don't agree with their analysis, but it's a more rational approach than some of the other business groups. I mean, some of the other business groups are suggesting that people on the minimum wage should be stuck and attached to CPI. So are we saying our lowest paid workers in our economy, many of whom are young people who are destined to live at home, it seems forever with the way things are we saying that they can't aspire to a pay increase above inflation like the rest of the economy? Important thing to remember too, in the last 2 years, wages was way behind inflation. We're only going to kind of catch up now. So I think there needs to be balance. I mean, the report we issued today is about challenging some of the myths and some of the exaggerations. It's factually driven. It's data driven. The SRI the other day said the economy is doing well. Yeah, we have to be careful. We have to be prudent. There are potential geopolitical shocks. There are issues internationally outside our control. But we need to make work pay. Many of Danny's members, they pay about half the tax on labour that their colleagues in Europe pay. yet workers pay pretty much European taxes. So I remember.
So would you like to see companies pay more in those employee-related taxes?
Well, I would like, yeah, I would like to see over a period of time, not overnight, but over the lifetime of, say, two governments, I would like to see employers paying their fair share when it comes to taxes on labour the way workers do. Because if we're to build the state, our population's grown by 13.5%. We need to deepen and build the state. And to be fair to Danny, he has articulated that point of having a bigger state. Well, we need to do that. We can only do that if everybody pays their fair share.
What about that, Danny? What about employers actually paying greater contribution by way of payroll taxes?
Yeah, and look, I think that's something that mature societies would reflect upon and actually bring forward. But the counterpoint to that is that wages in Ireland are higher than other jurisdictions because employers' taxes on labour are halved. So if the trade unions are willing to trade off in terms of the wage development, the private wages towards this social wage, I think that makes a lot of sense because productivity isn't changing and productivity is what justifies the wage. If we as a society want people to have sick pay, auto-enrollment pensions, that's a whole of society issue, not just imposed upon the business community. And right now, with the imposition on the business community, but the households are getting tax cuts, but the households are the recipients of these benefits.
The real whole of society issue, Matt, is the one that's staring us in the face, and we're an outlier in Europe in this. The government on the 15th of November have to legislate for a new directive. It's called the Adequate Minimum Wages Directive, but it's really about collective bargaining. One of the things the government has to do is, quote, promote the right for workers to exercise collective bargaining where they want it, pretty much, end quote. We have no laws in Ireland that do that. We have laws in Ireland that tie unions' hands behind their back. We have a situation where there is a thirst out there. A study by UCD in 2021, 44% of workers not in a union want one. We need to move the institutional impediment.
Sure, they're not prevented
they
from
are.
Joining a union,
no,
are they?
They're not
they can join a union, but it may be that their employer won't actually deal with them in that
and
capacity.
The purpose to join a union is to access collective bargaining. You don't just join it for the crack, okay? So if the employer has the veto, which under the current regime in Ireland they do, that's why we face the situation. So we need to be mature. We need to get to the 21st century. We need to sit down together the way myself and Danny and our colleagues do in Leaf. But we need to do it at sectoral level and at firm level. There are firms where there's no demand for unionisation and employers pay their workers very well. But there are firms where there is a demand, and all that we're saying is where there's a demand, it should be met.
What do you say to that, Danny McCoy?
Well, this is actually quite complicated, Matt, because that veto you talk about that employers have is a constitutional right. And so
would it need a referendum to remove it?
Exactly.
If you want to go
that route, ultimately, because there will be constitutional challenges to anything that comes through by legislation, is the danger here is that when one thinks that people fill in surveys and say they are supportive, can we be certain in the ultimate change in the constitution that they'll be there to do that? Now, we don't believe that's the right way to go, the constitutional change. And so we've been working with Owen and colleagues through the Labour Employer Economic Forum with the government to try to bring this about. But there's a whole different argument about superimposing this on people who don't want to join unions. I'm not convinced that the numbers support Owen's position.
We don't want conscripts. We want volunteers. This directive is European law. Our government, along with all the other governments, supported it. We have to be good Europeans. A commitment in Brussels can't be an aspiration in Dublin.
Okay, but something else in relation to this, getting back to the issue that we started with. Minister Michael McGrath, the finance minister, said this week that the government is prepared to introduce supports for businesses in advance of this year's budget. Danny McCoy, what do you expect from government?
Well, first of all, the government have put aside 250 million euros, which sounds like a lot of money, but in the modern Ireland, it's not. And so that would work out somewhere nearly 1,000 euros per business, including all the very big businesses who wouldn't need 1,000 euros. So it's untargeted. And unless the government starts to target its policies towards those who need it most, which are the SME community, particularly in the experienced economy, this is not worthwhile. If the government starts to target these kind of benefits and needs to up those costs, then I think it might be worthwhile. But at the moment, it just sounds like more of the same.
Which would also perhaps be in a lot of form filling, which a lot of businesses just haven't the time or energy to do.
Maybe not in this case, you know, that it might be easy for everybody to get the equivalent of 1,000 euros, but that actually makes no impact. We've seen this at the level of the household as well. Over last winter, every household has got 450 euros for their energy costs, whether they need it or not. The consequence of that, however, is it costs €1 billion to do that.
How would you like to see such supports been offered, Owen? Because presumably supports for business in this way are also supports for continued employment by those businesses.
And I should say, and it's in our report, we supported many of the supports that business have got since 2016 from Brexit onwards, because, and COVID-19, of course, because it sustained employments. But I think, I agree with Danny, these supports should be targeted. But I would also go further and say, if the government have a particular policy that they need to adopt, such as this directive, they need to tailor their supports. So why shouldn't we have supports that encourage firms to engage in collective bargaining? Not oblige them to, but encourage them. And those that choose not to say, well, you know what, I won't get support A, B and C, but I do think they should be targeted. There's certainly no need for very big firms that are doing very well to get such support.
So these firms that are not engaging in collective bargaining, yeah, are they largely the multinationals who have come in and who have paid so much corporation tax in this country?
It's a mixed bag. I mean, we have a lot of union penetration in pharmaceuticals, in financial services, in a lot of the multinationals. It's across the board.
But would you not have a concern that if you actually force them to actually have to deal with unions, the type of big businesses with management who don't like that will just say, we won't engage, we won't be in Ireland?
Okay, well, first of all, we're not proposing to force anyone to do anything they don't want to do. What we're saying is government policy, if they are going to be obliged to promote collective bargaining, they should use the tools that they have. What I do find interesting, there are many firms who were told in Ireland won't do collective bargaining, but they do it elsewhere. What's the story? Do they get off the plane in Dublin and suddenly the air is different and that they feel we can't deal with unions?
Danny McCoy, what do companies have to fear when it comes to collective bargaining?
Well, just to Owen's point there, I mean, the most classic example is Ryanair, who would never, ever, ever have a trade union. And in the last number of years, we've seen they have trade unions. So it's not actually about the act of union recognition. I think it goes back to the heart of their experiences with unions. And I think that what Owen is saying is if we can actually have an educated and training for both parts, yeah, both for the employers and for the trade union representatives about a modern interaction, I think that will go a long way than us just standing doing a Punch and Judy show.
Thank you very much, Danny McCoy of IBEC and Owen Reedy of the Irish Congress of Trade Unions.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.